Welcome to the Dream Job System, the only podcast that provides proven, tangible strategies to help you land a job you love without traditional experience and without applying online. Get ready to level up your job search with your host, Austin Belsack.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dream Job System podcast. I'm your host, Austin Belsack, and today we're going to be talking about mental health in your career. So why this topic and why now? Well, topic-wise, mental health is something that's really important to me. It's something that I have struggled with and progressed on for 20-plus years at this point. But also, I think it's something that doesn't get talked about enough. You know, when we look at the stories in the media, they talk about the overnight successes, the athletes, the performing artists, the business people who seemingly came out of nowhere and made this amazing thing happen. And what they don't talk about is everything that led to that. They don't talk about the failures or the mistakes or the self-doubt or the self-loathing sometimes that was baked into the process of making it to where they are now. And unfortunately, a lot of those same people don't talk about it themselves. You know, we have a few people who are willing to be outspoken or open about the things that they've gone through. And I always find those people a lot more relatable and just a lot more authentic in what they're sharing and the content that they create. So my whole goal with Cultivated Culture is to create a space where people can feel like they are supported and they can share some of this stuff and we can talk about it. Because one of the worst things that you can do with negative mental health is try to bottle it up and try to push forward. So why now? Well, I think that this time has been one of the hardest from a mental perspective. You know, a lot of the outlets that we normally have, a lot of the boundaries we had set up, those have all evaporated with COVID and then also with winter, especially if you're in a colder place. And I think people's mental health is really taking a toll. I've noticed that myself, and I've also noticed that in the interactions that I've had with job seekers and other entrepreneurs and friends and family. And I just thought it was really important to share a little bit about my journey with this, one, but then two, some of the things that I've been doing to help progress in this area. So to rewind the clock, I first started noticing my mental health in high school, right? I had a lot of social anxiety. I was highly introverted, and the whole high school experience was a rough one for me. I was always second-guessing myself. I had zero self-confidence. And that was a really hard time that was amplified in college, where I felt the social stakes were a little bit higher. But then as I graduated, you know, I went through this really dark period of making the transition from healthcare to Microsoft. And there were a lot of issues with anxiety and depression through that point. I'd also had some bouts of depression in college. And then we get to Microsoft. And I think it's really easy, again, for somebody to look at my LinkedIn or whatever it is and say, you know, Austin's doing all this stuff. He must be super happy. He's working at Microsoft. He's got this business. And that's why I think it's so important to share this stuff, because we can see anybody's social feeds and it's just a facade, right? What they share on Instagram, what they share on LinkedIn or anywhere else, you know, it tends to not necessarily be the most accurate portrayal of reality, because some of this stuff isn't that sexy. It doesn't really sell. So for me, as I was building Cultivated Culture and working at Microsoft, there were some incredibly high highs, like some of the best feelings and moments of my life. And overall, I would say that the 5 years at Microsoft and building Cultivated Culture, that was the best period in my life. So many amazing things happened. But at the same time, the lows were incredibly low. So there were periods where I was having multiple panic attacks every week, you know, at work, on the subway, you know, hyperventilating, you know, shaking, not really able to breathe. And there were periods where I would just kind of break down from burnout and stress that I'd sort of put on myself, you know, trying to take on more coaching clients or write more articles and being worried that I wasn't doing as much as everybody else and other people's businesses were growing faster. And that stuff was like a crushing weight on me and my brain and my mental health. And so this has been something that I have been working on in the background for a long, long, long time. And by no means have I found the secret antidote and every day is a 10 out of 10. But, you know, I've been working through and experimenting with some stuff, and I have found a few things that really have been helpful. So I wanted to share those on today's episode. Now, I think the first and most important thing to talk about when it comes to improving mental health are expectations. You know, one, it's totally okay to talk about this stuff. Some people may not be as receptive, but I think that the people who are not receptive are just really uncomfortable and fearful of what they're going through themselves. You know, something that I've realized as I've gone through this journey from, you know, relatively unknown student with bad grades to working at Microsoft and founding this business is that everybody from other relatively unknown students all the way up to some of the most successful business people and entrepreneurs and professionals, they all struggle with the same stuff. We all struggle with feeling successful. We all struggle with finding our passion and our purpose. We all struggle with being happy, and we all struggle with understanding what fulfills us. And no matter who you're looking at, whether you're reading a post from them or whether you're on their email list or whether they're sitting at the desk next to you or they're your friend, they struggle with at least one of those things, if not more. And it's probably more, to be honest. So we're all human and we're all feeling these things. So anybody who's sort of not willing to talk about it, that's okay. We don't want to push other people to do something that really is uncomfortable for them, but just know that it's not a reflection on you. And you should find people that you can confide in about this stuff, that you can talk to about this stuff. So that's the first thing that I want to lead with. Now, when it comes to the things that I do, the tools that are in my toolbox, first and foremost, I will mention that I am not a doctor, nor do I play one on TV or the internet. So this is not medical advice, and you should absolutely seek professional help from a doctor or a counselor before you take action. But for me, there's been a lot of experimentation, and something that is also important to set baseline-wise is just the knowledge that when we implement some of these things, it doesn't necessarily mean that every day is going to go to a 10 out of 10. And that was a frustrating realization that took me a very long time to come to. You know, I would read like The Miracle Morning, or I would learn about affirmations, or I would hear somebody talk about meditation and all this stuff. And I would go try it out. And then I was shocked that, you know, my days weren't suddenly all 10 out of 10s, because that's what these people were essentially promising. You know, do this morning routine and you'll, you know, be the happiest you've ever been, feel the best you've ever felt. And I didn't feel that way. And I was super frustrated. But over time, what I've realized was that if I chose the right things and I did most of them most of the time, that the baseline would shift. So instead of the average day being a 5 out of 10, you know, maybe it's a 6.5 or a 7 out of 10. And that shift can be massive over the course of your life and in your mental state and in your mental health. And that's really what we're going for here. And the thing that sort of liberated me there was actually reading an article by, you know, when I was doing the morning routine research that many of us have probably done, I was listening or reading an article rather. It was an interview of my buddy, Tim Ferriss, and my buddy, not in the personal sense, but somebody who I've learned a lot from. And way at the bottom of the article, there's this one line where he said, you know, this is my morning routine, but realistically, I never get through 100% of it. You know, I aim for 60 to 80% and that's a great day. And that totally boggled my mind that, you know, we didn't have to do 100% of the things 100% of the time to gain the benefits of these routines and these tactics. Instead, we just had to do most of them most of the time. So I set that same goal for myself. And over the past 4 years, I've done a lot of experimentation with some of the tactics, and I'll share the stuff that's worked for me. So the first is exercise. And this is something that everybody talks about. But if I had to give up everything else and only keep one tool, exercise would be that tool. The days that I get out there and I exercise are noticeably better than the days that I don't. It's statistically significant for sure. So I typically do a long run and I listen to podcasts and sometimes music there. But whatever that looks like for you is totally great. When I started, I used to just go for really long walks. You know, it would be a mile, 2 miles, 30, 40 minutes. And then I escalated. But even 30, 40 minutes of getting the blood pumping made such a big difference. The second thing that I've started doing that's taken me the longest time to kind of get into a rhythm with is journaling. So I tend to journal at night now. I used to try to do it in the morning and I didn't have time and I couldn't figure out. There's so many journals out there to pick from. So I had to think about all of them and kind of, or not all of them, but many of them and test them out and go through them. And really what's worked for me is a combination. So I use two product journals, if you will, in the sense that they're products that people sell, which are the 5-minute journal. And then another one my wife gave me, which is called One Line a Day. And basically in the morning, I'll fill out my 5-minute journal. But then at night, I'll finish up the 5-minute journal. I'll do the One Line a Day. But then I'll sit down and I will just stream of consciousness, write about the biggest thought that I had or the thing that's weighing on my mind. And that could be a positive thing. You know, why do I feel so happy and appreciative today? It could be a negative thing. Why do I feel like I totally suck at running a business today? It could be something that I'm thinking about, a worry or an anxiety. You know, why am I so worried that this person's going to do this thing to me and my business is going to explode? Anything is fair game, but I write it at the top and I write an entire page, just stream of consciousness about it. And I found that doing it before bed is helpful because my mind can kind of marinate on this stuff overnight. Having put a little bit of these thoughts on paper, organizing things a little bit, putting them out there, my brain can work on it. And so I'm not overloaded in the morning with this. I do it at night, and that tends to be really, really helpful as well. The third thing that I've done is just seek help. So I actually work with a business psychologist, therapist who has been amazing. We started meeting weekly, and then now we meet a couple times a month. And just having somebody again that you can talk to about this stuff and be free to share and be vulnerable is so, so key. And there are many, many different ways to go about this. You know, there is the type of setup that I have. There are other tools out there like Talkspace, or I think Betterment is one of them, that are a little bit more cost effective. And then there's just finding that friend or that person who you can really confide in, which can be the harder of the three, but is so worthwhile. But again, just finding a place in a space where you feel you can be open and vulnerable about what's going on and putting it out there. Sometimes all our soul really wants is to just put this thing that we're feeling out there and say it, get it off our chest. Other times we do need to talk through things a little bit more, but that has been massively, massively helpful for the reflection and for the context and the identification of some of these feelings. And that, I think, has led to one of the biggest or some of the largest strides for me. And then finally, one of the things that's really helped is changing the relationship with my phone. So there's an article out there called How to Configure Your iPhone to Work For You, Not Against You. And it essentially goes through the whole psychology of how our phones are slot machines that vie for our attention and kind of suck our soul out of us, whether we're using them in the moment or not. And so I actually, I deleted all the social apps off my phone. I actually deleted all of the social media accounts that I had outside of the business ones. The only social accounts I really have are my Instagram account for Cultivated Culture and then my LinkedIn account. And I don't even have either of those apps on my phone. I have zero social apps on my phone. And then I've used another tool called BlockSite. It's a Chrome extension to block some of these different websites, especially at night and in the morning, so that I'm not tempted to go on even my email in the mornings or at night. And I set some boundaries for myself there. And basically on the home screen of my phone, I have four apps. I have the podcast app, I have my reminders app, I have my pictures and my calendar. And then in the dock at the bottom, I have an app called Done, which I'll talk about in a second. I have Apple Music. I have my Aura Ring app, and then I have messages. So no social media, no even internet browser icon. And the whole goal is to reduce my screen time. And so actually my background on my phone is a black and white picture that says, could you be reading instead? And I've set a goal for myself to read 15 pages every day. And I try to do that right before I start work so that I create a space where instead of just finishing breakfast and going right to the computer and starting to work, I actually create a space for myself to slow down and tell myself to put on the brakes and also do something for me. I tend to read something fictional or something engaging, not necessarily a business book with, you know, best practices and takeaways. And then I get into my work, and that really reframes the rest of the day. So spending less time on my phone, turning off all the notifications, I have Do Not Disturb turned on basically the entire day. That has been a massive game changer in my mental state. So those are the couple of things that have really helped me. But what I would encourage you to do is go back and start with this exercise. Sit down and start tracking your days, you know, on a scale of 0 to 5. And whenever you have a 4 or a 5 day, write down the things that happened that made it a 4 or a 5. What did you do? What was a part of that day? And start looking for patterns. You know, for me, I realized that every day I exercised was substantially higher, like on average 2 points higher than days that I did not exercise. And once I started using my phone less, those days tended to be higher. And then what I do is I use an app called Done, which is essentially allows you to create a daily checklist that will track your streaks and stuff like that. And I just put in the top 5 to 7 activities. And I know, again, if I hit 60 to 80% of them on any given day, I give myself a significantly higher chance of having a better day than I would have if I didn't do those things. So we're essentially identifying the building blocks for a great day and great mental health and feeling better. And we're making sure that we check those boxes on a daily basis. So that's what's been really helpful for me. Again, the app's called Done. It's on iOS. I'm not sure if it's on Android, but I would love to hear from you all. You know, I would love to know how you're doing, how you're feeling about your mental health. And if you have something that you do that really works for you, definitely share it. Please feel free to send me an email. But we'll link up to a couple of the things I talked about in the show notes below. I have an article that I wrote about a year ago when I went through a significant period of burnout that has a couple of more tips and tactics and shares a little bit more about the story. And I'll also share a recent LinkedIn post I put out there about some of the things I struggled with over the last 4 years. But I so appreciate you all listening. I know this episode was a little bit different than the norm, but I do hope that it was helpful. I hope you're staying safe and healthy, and we'll see you on the next episode of the podcast.